AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Pod podcast, whatever that means.
AJ, Bridge and Spider, it's the podcast.
Yeah, and Tom Tate, he revealed something exclusively with us yesterday. He found a growth, and it's a warning for everyone to get checked up.
Yeah, and Wayne Swasswater, the North Melbourne champion, he talks to us about World Mental Health Day as well. And kissing passionately or passing on, no one does it. Well, that's what I thought.
And for those singletons like me, we spoke with Nikki Goldstein, our resident sexologist, about why it's okay to actually be single by choice. Well, no, I've got an interesting situation at the moment, and it's that I'm okay with being single, but no one else seems to be okay with the fact I'm single.
Oh.
And it happens whether I go camping, which I like doing on my own anyway, and all the strangers think they have to come and have a drink with me. I'm like, no, I'm actually okay. Or that just in my situation, it's not because I'm a man hater or I'm bitter at all. It's just I made a pact to myself this year that I would hang with myself, that I would improve on things in my own life, and to then I'd have time to bring someone else in. And
there's a lot of people, it seems to be, I don't know if it's a trend, but trend or whatever it is, but it seems to be happening at different parts of the world. Women seem to be taking it on board.
Well, we're going to sort this out for you right now, Bridge. We've got our friend of the AJ Bridge and Spider family, Nikki Goldstein, who's a Gold Coaster. She's a sex and relationship expert.
She's going to the top.
Absolutely. She's on the line now, Bridge.
Nikki, how do I tell people who feel sorry for me that it's really okay, I choose...
You're a trendsetter.
...to be single at the moment?
Well, I think you've just got to get more confident in saying exactly that, that it is your choice. But you can also then remind them of the benefits of what single life is as opposed to maybe married life or married with kids, because I'm assuring you that all of your married friends with kids would love the time that you get to be able to focus on yourself.
Well, it is. It's funny, though, that people do kind of do the pat on the head and don't worry, you'll find someone, and they feel sorry for you, or they think that I'm turned off men, which is not the case at all. I am not bitter. I'm just going through a little purple patch of loving my own company.
And that's the thing is it's that look of pity, and that's what you really need to shake off with people, is that don't pity me because this is my choice and this is what I'm happy doing. And it just goes to show that we, as a society, still value women on this idea of our ability to find a husband and procreate. And I think it's up to women who are currently out there at the moment who are single and choosing to be single to be the spokespeople for that lifestyle and say, you know what, it's my choice. It's not a matter of that I can't find a guy. I just prefer my life this way right now. And don't pity me.
Nice.
Is this a trend happening at other places as well? Because, you know, the no children, living by yourself, that free lifestyle, it seems to be a trend coming in.
See, a trend implies that it's something that will stay and then go away. I actually think that this is a matter of now women have an option. We never used to be able to do this. We were economically in a position where we did have to look at partnering up with somebody, and we couldn't have kids and a career on our own if we wanted to. We couldn't really be successful single mums. We couldn't be, you know, older and dating. All these things now are an option for us thanks to possibly technology, possibly different things from the government and different handouts. So we've got this option now that we can actually choose the way that we want to live our life, whether that is in a relationship or whether that is single or being a single parent. So I think it's something that's here to stay. I think we're actually going to see more women starting to flex that option as they start to realize that, hang on, there isn't just one path for me. It's not just a matter of I have to partner up and have children. I have all these options available. Which option do I want to choose? Not which option am I feel like I should choose, because that's the right thing to do.
I always think it's good to have something ready to go, Nikki. I always say I'm happy because I'm single by choice, not by chance.
There you go.
Mm.
It is a good point. I think people think when you're single, you're always looking for someone. But I think it's okay to have a little time in your life where you're not. You're just happy within yourself. It's not because you're scared or your heart's been broken. You're just having a really good relationship.
Well, there's a lot of people out there.
I've married myself. That's what I've done. I've gone and married myself. I'm having a great relationship with myself.
Tick yes.
There's tension in this studio today.
No, there isn't. I didn't know.
And I know why. Because if you pashed your partner more, you'd relax your freckle and unwind. Seriously, why don't you give it a shot?
Don't start me with this.
I got abused when I got home.
This is what happened yesterday about talking about seven things people do when they're in love.
There are seven things happy couples do. Number one.
Yeah.
Kiss passionately once a day.
Once a day or once a year?
No, seriously.
I can't even get a kiss out of you. I can't even get a kiss goodbye. I went to America for 7 weeks and you wouldn't even kiss me goodbye.
Okay, so that's a no.
Now, that was my wife, Cherie.
Yes.
And got home yesterday. And she reckons that couples should be kissing passionately every day.
You're saying this like it's some kind of alien life form. It is an absolutely quantifiable thing that people should do daily with their partners.
But you would.
Absolutely, and I have. I will do it in public. I don't care. Love it. But I will say this. There is a reason women don't want to do it that often is because blokes just leave it to the pashing. Don't then get all handsy and think that's obviously going to lead to something else.
Don't worry.
And that's why women often don't, because we just want that. Sometimes we just want that. We don't want then you to throw a leg over, so to speak.
I want to know if there is any couples out there that pash every day.
This is not an unusual thing.
Cherie, my wife.
Oh, Cherie, I'm so sorry, Del. I'm really sorry.
I could actually introduce Cherie with this little word to say that I've probably kissed you more than Peter, I think, Cherie.
Yes, you definitely have. You've got to stop saying that.
When you come in, I give you a little peck on the cheek. He doesn't even do that, does he?
No, he does not. No, I definitely get more loving out of AJ than I do Spider. That's
Cherie,
sure.
Do you want him to?
Well, you know, if you asked me yesterday, I would have said, ooh, gross, no. But then I'm thinking today, Boston and I had a chat about it, and he said that he's going to start a kissing chart, and I have to tick it off every morning.
I love it.
When Peter gets home from work, we have to have a big kiss up. We have to, Peter. No, we're going to.
I love it.
There's no one passions every day.
Excuse me. It keeps a relationship alive, doesn't it, Cherie?
Yeah. Hey, who knows? It might just. No, who knows, Peter?
Pashing is for like 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds.
We're over pashing. No, it's just the word. It's just a word for kissing. At the moment, I'm just doing the... Who's the guy for Richie Cunningham. Who was the one, Ralph Mouth, who was pashing himself? You know when he does that in Happy Days? That's me.
Standing in the corner.
Thanks, Cherie. All right, I love this. We're going to get to updates on the tally. The kissing, I love this.
I want to know if anyone else does it.
Peter. Make sure you brush your teeth.
Yeah,
I want to know if anyone else actually pashes daily, their partner.
Yeah, kisses passionately. That's a nicer way to say it.
Yeah,
13, 27, 10.
Not pashing them, just kisses passionately. Yeah,
no. Passionate kisses. There we go.
Daily.
Like bold and beautiful kisses. Like Kel and Kim from...
There, thanks.
Kel and Kath, day night from Kimmy, yeah.
Thanks, Cherie.
No worries, anytime.
And we were talking yesterday about seven things couples do when they are in love, and one of them was kiss passionately. And I'm like, you know, call it passion, call it kiss passionately. I'm not convinced by it. Bridge, you're a fan of it.
Absolutely. I mean, you're in a beautiful relationship. You're absolutely punching above your weight. You have the most gorgeous wife. And why wouldn't you want to kiss her passionately?
So we want to know, 13, 20, 17, how many couples out there on the Gold Coast actually kiss passionately or pash every day? Dan, are you one of these?
Kissing your partner passionately. I believe in being affectionate and kiss your partner. But when they kiss them passionately, it's for special occasions. Plus, look at all the germs that are in your mouth.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, the human mouth is like gross. Oh, gross.
Seriously.
The human mouth is, like monkey bite, cat bite, human bite, and snake bite.
Come on.
Thanks, Dan. I'm with you. Anne in Varsity, do you think people should kiss passionately daily?
Yes.
Oh, do you do it?
Yeah, my partner and I do it daily. I mean, it's just a form of expression between him and me, but we do it daily.
That's right. It's a beautiful form of expression.
Yes.
As long as they don't want to express it again a bit more and more and then get handsy and, you know, you're like
No, my partner is quite good at that. He knows there's a limit to get to. But yeah.
Daily kissing. Yeah, okay. That's good on you. Thanks, Anne.
All right, we got Shan in Upper Coomera. Shan, do you think it's great to kiss your partner passionately every day?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. Number one, it grosses my kids out.
Yeah.
And number two, it keeps the passion alive in your marriage, in your relationship. It's needed.
That's right. Shan, how many marriages are you on now? Which is this one? No,
this
Spider.
Is my second marriage and last one, thank you.
No, no, for
I'm
Spider.
Third.
He's on
so
his
I've
third.
Only pegged her by one.
Oh, my God, don't.
Okay.
Thank you.
And Gary, you're on my side, are you? Do you kiss passionately every day?
Twice a day, mate.
No!
Out on. Jesus. And I tell you what, your wife's very true. She's true on what she says. You never know what just might happen. And also, going to bed at the same time. If you're not getting any action in the bedroom, give it a go. I tell you what, might just work.
We're not talking about that, Gary, but you're a bloke. Of course you took it that way. Of course.
Gary,
well,
a sexologist.
Gary.
Thank you, Gary. Oh, funny. Hey, listen, it's 5 minutes to nine, and just reiterating the very, well, big news that came through this morning as revealed here at AJ Bridge and Spider. Tom Tate has a growth in his system, which he intends having removed. He revealed it exclusively on Tom Tate Tuesday here today.
You know, when I woke up and talked to the surgeon and everything like that, and with photos and things, so I'm going to have to book in about a couple of weeks for it to be removed.
Oh.
So they found something.
Found quite a bit of growth there. And my point is, I don't feel anything there.
No.
And the comment is, Tom, if you had left it for another 12 months... it would have been very, very serious, like life-threatening.
Gosh.
So I'm so glad that I signed up for the whole checkup, and now, as a result, is a bit of a blessing in disguise.
And, of course, the message is, ladies and gentlemen, and from Tom's point of view, particularly blokes, when you're 50-plus, you should be having a colonoscopy.
Well, there's no signs for it.
Yeah.
And plus it's Breast Cancer Month as well, so for females and skin checks, just the whole lot, just worth getting checked.
Definitely. Well, tomorrow our resident doctor, Dr. Lisa Beecham, will be coming in for my regular breast check, and also you guys are going to be involved in this.
Oh, plasticine.
What?
What are you talking
Hang
about?
On.
We get to, well, no.
What have you got your hands up for, waving them?
Bridgie told me in the breakfast meeting this morning that we're practicing, you and I are practicing on plasticine.
Well, not particularly plasticine. We're hopefully, some proper ones that are like, not mine, no. As in ones from a hospital or ones where you've got fake boobs that aren't attached to a body. And you are going to try, and so for your partner, because a lot of men are the ones that find it with their partner's breasts, so men know their partner's breasts well. See?
I know why I've had my hand around barbells all these years now at the CrossFit. It's all going to come to fruition.
Oh, my God. You look at your hands. Please, it's a HR issue. Put them down.
Oh, please.
Can you please? Please.
And you do it with such a smile.
Stop it.
I know.
Yeah, World Mental Health Day today, and Wayne Swass, former North Melbourne and Sydney Swans player, also a premiership player, joins us. He's got a new podcast, Pucker Up, and Swatter or Wayne, thanks very much for joining us, but it is Mental Health Day. Why is this podcast important to you? Because you've had demons before.
Yeah, look, Spider, thanks for having me on, guys, and lady. I was really keen. Look, I've worked in this field for 12 years, and I have made a lot of mistakes along a 24-year journey with mental health. But I'm fortunate now that I'm in a really good place. I'm happy, I'm healthy, and I'm really passionate about this issue of mental health. I'm passionate from the point of view of wanting to encourage more people to be open and honest about their mental health. And I thought, where better to start than to talk to a number of people that have been incredibly successful in their chosen careers, that have gone through similar challenges, or talking to people like Julia Gillard and John Longmire and Pat McGorry, the former Australian of the Year, who haven't themselves gone through challenges, but work in industries, Julia and Pat in the mental health field, but John in elite level sport in the AFL, who understand the importance and value of mental health. And I think that's a really good starting point, because it sends a great message to the broader community that you can be really well paid, really high profile, but you can also confront some challenges that everybody in the community potentially can confront. And hopefully through those conversations, we normalize it for people.
Speaking of normalising it, I think it's women, we talk very openly about it. Men are programmed, I think, to, you know, don't cry, dry your eyes, get on with it, spoonful of concrete. How hard is it for men to open up?
Oh, it's been a really big sort of a hobby horse of mine, this whole notion of masculinity, because there's enough research that supports the argument that boys are just as emotionally expressive and emotionally connected from the time they're born to around about the ages of 8, 9 and 10, and then something changes. And what changes for mine is the gender stereotyping messaging that gets handed down to boys of all ages once they get to that 8, 9 and 10, and it carries through your entire life. And like you rightly said, we're told to be certain things: strong, tough, resilient, loyal, hardworking, but we're discouraged from being emotional and empathetic and compassionate and actually showing real emotion and real love. And I actually think that that is a fundamental flaw in this notion of masculinity, because by the end of every day in Australia, we lose 8 people to suicide and 6 of those people are men. And we're losing far too many people to this really preventable issue. And suicide is an outcome to a crisis. So we really need to reframe it. Mm. We need to encourage and celebrate and applaud people, men and women, but men in particular, for being emotionally expressive and connective. Because when they do that, they're in a much better position to overcome challenges.
Wayne, you've had some very high-profile guests on Pucker Up, just back to the podcast. For people that are tuning into it, what are they getting out of the podcast? I mean, you've had people on like John Longmire, Julie Gillard, Libby Trickett, Preston Campbell, Pat McGorry. How have you found people? What have people found from what's on the broadcast?
Well, I can only go by what I've received by way of messages and feedback, AJ, and it's been quite incredible. I mean, what we're trying to do, the whole purpose of this podcast series is to normalise. We can talk about just about everything, but the moment mental health gets put on the agenda, there's a level of uncomfortable or uneasiness that people experience. And in my experience, that's simply because we're not used to talking about these issues. So yeah, I wanted to go and identify a number of high-profile people: Libby Trickett, Caitlin Thwaites, plays for the Australian Diamonds netball team, Kyle van der Kuip, Osher Ginsberg, Preston Campbell, Danny Frawley, who's a great mate of mine, who's never spoken about publicly. We'll do that in a couple of weeks on the podcast. I wanted to get some high-profile people to have open and honest conversations with me. And hopefully what that's allowing other people to do is podcasting allows people to consume it where they're comfortable. Could be in the car, could be at home, could be going for a walk where no one else is around. And really it's about having an open conversation about challenging issues. And more importantly, it will hopefully inspire other people that no matter what we do, no matter where we are, no matter how much money we've got or how much little money we've got, that we can overcome these challenges when we learn to talk and ask for help.
Thank you, Swatter.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on, AJ.
He speaks well, doesn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
Swatter, Wayne Swass, Mental Health Day. It's Tom Tate Tuesday.
We love Tom Tate Tuesday.
Yes, and last week when Tom was in here, we did wish Tom all the best with the procedure that he was going in to have. He was going to hospital to do a little checkout on his system. How'd you go, Tom?
Well, first up, Bridge, how do you say it, the procedure?
I heard a French woman say it once, and it sounded really sexy when she said it. Colonoscopy.
I must have heard that because I thought, I'll have one of those.
Two for one on Tuesdays.
Yeah, but, mate, you know, for all the guys and girls out there, especially the guys, I mean, the last minute thing, I'd wanted to pull out because it's just a normal routine thing. But, you know, when I woke up and talked to the surgeon and everything like that, and with photos and things, so I'm going to have to book in about a couple of weeks for it to be removed.
Oh.
So they found something.
Found quite a bit of growth there. And my point is, I don't feel anything there.
No.
And the comment is, Tom, if you had left it for another 12 months, it would have been very, very serious, like life-threatening.
Gosh.
So I'm so glad that I signed up for the whole checkup. And now, as a result, it's a bit of a blessing in disguise.
So, Tom, was this just a routine thing for you at your age? You just decided to go in for the routine check?
It's a bit of a wake-up call with Ruth having a cardiac arrest, and she's so fit.
Yeah.
And I went, well, I better go. You know, she's a lot fitter than me. I thought I better go and check everything out, which I did. There's a good program at Pindara, a bit of ad there, and really extensive. They did the blood test. From the blood test, they said, well, you got to go in one of those colonoscopy, and then went that, and they found a growth there, and now I'll check in and get it removed, and the other thing is now with all the blood, all that, you know, they said, look, you got to lose about 5 kilos, which I'm going to do.
So something popped up in the blood.
Yeah, right. It did, and so that's quite good. So I'd encourage, especially, you know, to the guys out there, you might think, oh, she'll be right, mate, and all that sort of stuff. Grow and mow in the November, that will do. I tell you this, go and get it checked out and do it for your family. So that's what I'm saying. But there's a funny thing, though, when I went in to check in at the front reception, and literally I thought she was joking because trying to cheer me up, you know, and said, oh, sorry, Mr. Mayor, you have to go to our rear reception. And I'm looking at, I'm going, are you serious?
No.
She goes, yeah, and I look at the sign, it's at the back, it's the rear reception. I went, they got a sense of humour, but literally it's at the rear.
Love it.
Sorry, it's mate. Funny.
But Tom, because you did a first aid course,
yes,
which then, you know, really saved Ruth's life at the start of the year.
Yeah, it did.
Was this on the back of that saying, because of your family, if that hadn't happened to Ruth, do you reckon you would have gone to get this done and then in 12 months you would have been in a worse situation?
Yeah, well, it's a wake-up call. I would say I'm like any other guy. She'll be right, mate. I wouldn't have gone and get a checked up spider, to be honest with you. I'm thinking, yeah, I'll do it later, and later never comes. And literally now both of us are working hard to get our health in order so that we can go on and enjoy, you know, a beautiful life together.
Well, it's a great idea, especially when there were no signs, you had no sickness, you didn't go in because
and
of that.
Fit. And
I must say that it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month and women do it really well. There are so many lunches and functions and gatherings and women coming together supporting each other.
Yeah.
And I think that needs to happen for Prostate Awareness Month in Movember. Don't just grow a mo, guys. Yeah. Actually raise money and do something with it. I'm actually getting Dr. Lisa Beecham tomorrow. She annually does the breast check on me in the studio.
Oh, okay.
So,
guys, you know, I go for value for money. I'm in surgery. I'm lying there and the surgeon's there is talking. He said, and he said, Tom, while you're here, we're going to knock you out, so we might as well go both ends. And I went, sounds good, but make sure you use different probes.
Tom.
Tom, look, it's been a huge, huge year for you then. If you're going to go in a couple of weeks and Ruth, and you just said you want to, you know, you're both fit, you want to start living, we don't have to look for a new mayor yet, do we?
Oh,
no.
Stop it.
No, I'm asking. Oh, no.
It's not funny. It's not even funny.
I'm asking. It's a serious question. We're both going, you know, we basically got a new lease of life.
Yeah.
And we know how blessed we are.
It's hard hours.
And the passion for the city hasn't waned at all. And it'll be up to Ruth in, 12 months out. And meanwhile, I'm looking forward to the Comm Games and be there.
Beautiful.
Tom, you're over 50, so am I. Spider's not quite there yet. But when you get to 50, you should just automatically have the test. Automatically.
AJ, you know what, guys? If you go, she'll be right, mate. Just do it for your family. Yeah. And then you can go back and go, I'm all clear. Or I've been... Whatever's detected early can be rectified. And otherwise, do it for your family.
And
absolutely.
All your duties coming up. Everything's going to be okay there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's looking good. I'm excited.
He'll be in the corporate box of the GC600. Don't panic.
I read a good quote for Tom today, and I said, look at the glasses half full and the other half was delicious.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
That's a good quote.
That's quintessential Gold Coast. You can say that. I said that and quote me.
We'll see you next week.
AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Weekdays from 5 on 92.5 Gold FM.